The following message was preached at Redeemer Community Church. For more information about Redeemer, visit us online at www.redeemernc.org.
Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 69:30-36. I will praise God's name with song and exalt him with thanksgiving that will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with horns and hooves. The humble will see it and rejoice. You who seek God, take heart, for the Lord listens to the needy and does not despise his own who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah. They will live there and possess it. The descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will live in it. This is the word of the Lord.
God, you may be seated. Thank you, Tricia. When I became a pastor, I started a practice of coming from behind the desk whenever people would come to sit with me so that I could connect with them and be with them when they were sharing. As I was meditating on this passage, Psalm 69, and sensing the way that the Lord was leading, I felt to come from behind the desk so that I can connect with you and be with you on this morning as we walk through this word. So I'm going to move this lectern so that I can see you, be with you, as this word was rather weighty for me and challenging but also hopeful, as it reminded me of our transition from Houston, Texas to Irwin, North Carolina. I didn't feel sent to Irwin like our family feels sent to Nashville, Tennessee, where we'll relocate to the end of July. When we got here, or to Irwin, it was more a time of great distress. I was discouraged, sad, hurt. There was a lot of uncertainty, and I was scared, not sure what to do or what was next. I began going on a walk every day, a prayer walk, for the next 6 months. It was typically 2 miles, but there were many times where it ended up being 4 miles because I just needed to draw near to God, and I needed God to draw near to me. And there were a handful of times where it was a 10-mile walk, and there was no shortage of tears. In that season, God was gracious to meet me in that space and minister to my heart. And what he revealed to me and reminded me of is that I cannot avoid pain. I can't ignore pain. I can't run or hide from pain. I have to praise through pain. And I could do that because he was present with me in the pain. It's my prayer that as we walk through this passage on this morning, that what God has been doing in my heart and teaching me and building me up in over the last 2 years, he would do that in the few moments that we have together. And that when we leave this space, we'll have the courage and the strength to be real about the hurt and the heartache that we feel. But that we would also be revived in our souls because of who God is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. I'm keenly aware of my shortcomings, and there's nothing that I could say or do that would allow that to happen. So I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer and pray with me and for me as we prepare to go into God's word. Father, we are abundantly grateful that you are merciful and gracious God would meet us at the point of our need. And so we humbly come before your throne of grace, and because of the blood of Jesus, boldly asking that you would minister to us. Lord God, though this may be a second service, we pray for a fresh word. You know the needs of everyone in this room. Father, do what only you can do so that we might not leave here the same way we came in. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you turn to Psalm 69. In the interest of time, we're not going to be able to go through each verse and unpack it. But what we will do is break this psalm into three sections, and we'll read through them. And my prayer is that as we are reading through the passage and you're looking at it and hearing it, that the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart through the reading of the word, whatever it is that your heart needs on this morning. And the first section we'll look at is verses 1 through 12, where the psalmist David lets us know the reality of reproach. The word of God reads, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me." David opens up the song with a desperate cry for help. And in order to paint the picture of the depths of despair that he's experiencing, he gives us metaphors of misery. The water is up to his neck. He's sinking in deep mire, and there's no foothold. In other words, there's nothing that he could plant his foot on to push himself up so that he might find relief. The floodwaters are coming over him. He's hoarse from crying out to God for help because he's in need. David does not take a fake it till you make it kind of approach. David is very real and raw about the pain, the heartache, the anguish that he's experiencing. There's a deep despair, a desperation. He's in need. And I believe the reason why David can cry out this way, the reason why David can be real about the pain that he's experiencing, is because there's no shame in his pain. Now, David is not saying that he's perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He says, "You know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you." So it's not because of his perfection, but he knows the real reason for his reproach. It's because of his relationship with God. He says in verse 7, "For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. For zeal for your house," verse 9, "has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." So David doesn't romanticize reproach, but he also understands that reproach is coming because of his relationship with God. And this is a lesson that we all would do well to learn and grab a hold of. It's the very lesson that Jesus taught to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 20. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep your words." Jesus was persecuted. Jesus experienced reproach. He said, if you are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you should expect reproach. It's coming. It's coming because you are not of this world. And so the world that hates our Savior is going to hate us as well. And this is an important truth. And Jesus tells us why it's so important to understand that reproach is coming. Verse 1 of chapter 16 says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Now, this is not going to be one of those high five your neighbors and tell them it's coming kind of messages. But this is an important message. Because Jesus understands that if you don't understand that reproach is coming, you'll falter and you'll fail. It's a poor trainer that takes a boxer under their wing and goes into the gym and holds the punching bag and allows that boxer to believe that this is what it'll be like when you get into the ring. Just like punching a bag. Then when that boxer gets into the ring for the big fight and he gets punched in the mouth, and he walks out of the ring, everybody's going to wonder, why did he quit? And that boxer is going to say, I never thought I was going to get hit in the mouth. This is hard and it hurts. Right? But if that boxer understands, hey, listen, when you get into the ring, you're going to get punched in the mouth. And you know what it's going to feel like? You got punched in the mouth. So when, not if, when you get hit, endure and keep fighting. Jesus wants us to know the lesson that David came to understand. When you live for the Lord, you're not going to get a whole lot of fanfare. And so there's a lie that people would like for us to think that when I come to Jesus, life will be easy, pleasant, and fun. And then not if, but when persecution comes, my response is, Lord, why me? Instead of, Lord, thank you for trusting me. And then we start to waffle and waver because I wasn't ready for persecution. I have a responsibility to let the people of God know reproach is crippling. It's painful. It's hard. Hurts. And it is coming. Our relationship with the Lord, while we understand from the Word of God that it brings about reproach, David also understands that this same relationship also provides a refuge. So we see the refuge of the reproached, our hiding place and our help. Let's look at verses 13 through 29. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. In your saving faithfulness, deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant. For I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. David does not look to retaliate on those who deliver pain and afflict him. Instead, David runs to his refuge. He runs to the Lord. He prays to God. And he prays fervently because he knows his God's character, his capability, and his care. And so it's not because David feels like God owes him something or that David deserves something, but it's because of the character of God that David would cry out with expectation that God would hear him and respond. It's in the abundance of your steadfast love that he says, answer me, and your saving faithfulness, your overflowing, unwavering love. Because of your character, Lord, I cry out to you that you would be my hiding place and that you would be my help. And so David asked the Lord to deliver him from these metaphors of misery, from the sinking, the overwhelmedness, the pain. Lord, deliver me. Draw near, David cries out. Redeem me. Ransom me. You can feel the cry of David's heart and his need for help. And this prayer is so powerful because within the midst of this prayer, the Holy Spirit would speak to and through David to prophesy the answer to the prayer that David's praying. It's believed that verse 20 and 21 have messianic undertones, and that verse 21 is a messianic prophecy that was fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. John chapter 19 captures the fulfillment of this prophecy. It says here in verse 28 through 30 of John 19, after this, after being brutally beaten, hung on the cross, and making sure that his mother was taken care of, it says, knowing that all was now finished, Jesus said, to fulfill the scripture, Psalm 69, verse 21, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So Jesus fulfilled Psalm 69, verse 21. And it wasn't because he was thirsty, but it was so that scripture might be fulfilled. And they had the sour wine there. But then Jesus also says another word, it is finished. And the it that he's speaking about is the prophetic word from the prophets of old that would testify that a savior would come and that through his death, death would be defeated because he would pay for the sins of his people. And we see that in prophets like Isaiah here in the 25th chapter. Verses 7 through 9, this was the prophecy that Jesus fulfilled when he said, it is finished. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, death, the veil that is spread over all nations, sin. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and therefore it is finished. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So Jesus was the ultimate answer to David's prayer. It was his death that redeemed and ransomed his people. It was his death that brought vindication to his people and justice to his enemies. So David, while crying out to God, God sends the answer even before David could part his lips. Jesus is coming, and he will take care of his enemies. But David didn't need to see it in order to believe it. David didn't have to wait for the fulfillment of it to respond to it. So David says, here in Psalm 69, verse 29, I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. The salvation that God will provide will be the victory that is the foothold that lifts David out of the deep mire. And so because David is confident, fully persuaded in the character, the capability, and the care of his creator, he has a different response. His response is not based on the circumstances or the situations. His response is based on his Savior. And we see in this next section, the response of the reproached. It's a sacrifice of praise. Verse 30 through 36. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah. And people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it. And those who love his name shall dwell in it. David makes a choice in the midst of his pain. He says, I will praise God. And this is not a fake it till you make it kind of praise. This is a sincere, heartfelt praise. And David tells us the three reasons why he would praise God in the midst of pain. The first reason he gives is verse 31, because this will please the Lord. If you know who God is, and you have a relationship with your creator, you know his character, his capability, and his care. He's worthy of praise. It would be our heart's desire to please him. It's my heart's desire to please him above anything else. And so even though David says, I may be going through, because praise pleases God, I'm going to give God the praise that's due his name. So I will praise him because this pleases him. And I want to please the God who would love me so much that he would keep me, care for me, forgive me. And for those of us who are on the other side of the cross, that he would send his only begotten son to die for my sins, to pay the price that I could never pay so that I might have the hope of glory. I will praise the Lord because it pleases him. And David gives us a second reason. Verse 32 says, when the humble see it, they will be glad. When the people of God see us praising through pain, it will gladden their hearts. This word humble can also be translated afflicted. So when the afflicted see those who are being afflicted praising God, it makes their heart glad. And I believe that we've all seen that in our lives. I've seen that being a member here at Redeemer Community Church. I've had the joy of sitting with Betty Berger when Adam and Josh and myself went to Nashville. And we went to go visit with Betty because she just had a major surgery and she was getting ready for chemo. And our heart was to go encourage her as she was getting ready to go through a hard treatment. Little did we know that we were going to see Betty because Betty was sent to encourage us. You sat in the living room with Betty and there was just a joy on her face, a peace in her soul. And so here, the pastor is going to go and give an encouraging word to Betty, but all I have was questions. Betty, why is it that you have so much joy right now? And what Betty said is her relationship with God and the support of the church that gives her strength to endure. And so while we left thinking that Betty might be encouraged, I left knowing that I was encouraged to be in Betty's presence because she was praising God through pain. I've had the pleasure over the past year of watching John Molina as his body is being ravaged with pain continue Sunday after Sunday to make his way through these doors to give God praise. And a couple of Sundays ago, I was walking out of the building and John was seated. Unassumingly, he stood up to shake my hand and to let me know that he was praying for me. You're praying for me? Should be praying for you. Now, John was praying for me and encouraging me. And every Sunday that I see him, my soul is encouraged. Because here's somebody who's experiencing pain, but giving God praise in the midst of it. Last week, I saw Bruce Ritter. He's been dealing with some severe back pains. So he hadn't been able to make it out a few Sundays. But he was going to press his way. And so he came in with a walker. And as I saw him, I wanted to let him know that I've been praying for him and how encouraged I was to see him. Bruce looked like a kid in a candy store. The biggest smile on his face, that I am so excited to be here. I'm grateful for live stream, but you just can't capture what happens when you're in the room. He was so excited to be with the people of God, praising God. He didn't even mention his pain. We didn't even talk about it. And I was encouraged because here my brother is dealing with back pain, and the only thing that he could think about and talk about was being able to praise God. When the people of God praise God through pain, it gladdens the hearts. And that's why the fellowship of believers is so important, and why the word would say don't neglect to gather together while it's today, because it's in this space that we find encouragement. Yes, through the singing of songs, through the preached word, but just to be able to sit next to another brother and sister and see them continue to praise God even though this life is not easy. But that wasn't the last reason that David gave. Save the best for last. Here, verse 34 through 36. He says, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah. And people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it. And those who love his name shall dwell in it. David was completely convinced, confident, that God will get his glory. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it seems. I don't care what the scorecards say. You've been losing the last 11 rounds. And you're going to have to do something real spectacular if you're going to win this thing, because you have lost. I'm not moved, because I know we win. I remember watching the Olympics. There was an athlete. It was the 100-meter dash who won the race, got the gold medal. He was on the bigger platform. The silver medalist was a little bit lower. But then it was found out later on that the person who won the gold medal was taking some performance-enhancing drugs. So the silver medalist had his medal taken away, and it was exchanged with the gold medal. Everybody was convinced in that stadium that he lost. I don't care what it looked like. He won. It just took you all a while to figure it out. If we know who God is, we understand his character, his capability, and his care. I don't have to wait to see it, to believe it. I'm going to praise him in the midst of pain, because he will get his glory. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There is nothing and no one that can defeat him. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was signed, sealed, and delivered, secure. You can go ahead and start spending the money now before the check is cleared, because God is good for it. I got about three people over here that believe that to be true. I'm just going to go ahead and face over here. You all better keep up. Listen, we know this to be true. Right? Because we know this to be true, we can praise God through pain. Listen, it's not to try to sugarcoat it. Pain is called pain because it is painful. I know that was deep. It'll catch up with you in a minute. It's not pleasant. And I love how real God is. Jesus doesn't say, hey, toughen up and get over it. No, he says, listen, I'm telling you these things because it is going to be hard. I'm telling you these things in advance because it is going to hurt. And I want you to understand this, because when you get punched in the mouth, it's going to feel like you got punched in the mouth. And do you know when getting punched in the mouth no longer hurts? Never. So I need you to be prepared so that you will endure hardness like a good soldier, that you won't waffle and waver, that you won't quit. Now, the beauty of David's praise, of his response, is that his response is not feeling-based. His response is based on belief. And so we need to understand, and I get it, trust me, that we don't always walk into this space feeling like we came in on a cloud. And we don't always feel so good. And we may not always feel like making a joyful noise. And that's why we need to be reminded that God is worthy in spite of what we're going through. And so I may not feel like it, but I'm a faith it. Not fake it, I'm a faith it. Because God is worthy, and because praise pleases him, encourages you, and because I know that God is good for it, I will bless the Lord in the midst of this trial. And so for those who walked in here, downtrodden, identifying with the metaphors of misery, allow me to encourage you from this psalm that David wrote and the courage that he took to continue to praise God through pain. Look at verse 32b and 33. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. This truth is all the reason we need to take the masks off. It's okay. You don't have to act like you have it all together. It's all right to cry. It's okay to be honest. I'm discouraged, distraught, downtrodden, and I need some help. That's real. And we can be real like that because God hears us. Now just think about it for a moment. The creator of the universe, if I called you up and you saw my number on your cell phone, you might hit the button on the side like it was a telemarketer. And I get it, it's fine, it's no offense, it's cool. But God does not reject your call. The creator of the universe hears your cry and he responds to your need. What do you do when you have that kind of connection? I don't need to retaliate. I'm going to run. Lord, I need you. It might be a 2-mile walk. It may be a 4-mile walk. It may be a 10-mile walk. But Lord, I need you. And I'm fully confident that while I don't feel so good, I trust that you hear me and that you will respond to me. So I'm going to keep on pressing and I'm going to keep on praising, not because I feel like it, but because I trust you. Because you hear me. And that truth revives my soul. It revives me. And so for all of us who seek God, this is what David says, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, be revived. Because God does not despise. He doesn't despise you. He's not looking at you saying, you deserve that. No. Saying, come. All who are weary and heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. So the worst thing that you and I can do when we get punched in the mouth is to act like it doesn't hurt. No, I'm good. No, you're not. You're not. And it's okay to not be okay. Because God is not asking you to act tough. He's saying, I got you. And when we aren't willing to humble ourselves and admit that, we reject the help that God is so willingly and graciously affording to us. Listen, you tell me that, go ahead and paint Michael as an infant. I'm just crying every night. Ah! I'm like, what are you crying for? I don't know. I just need help. Yeah, you know, I'm just crying as much as I, because I need you. I'm not going to try and put on the tough guy act. If God hears and responds, what do you do? How you doing today? I'm good. No, you're not. You look pale, knees wobbling. You need help. And the good news, help is here. The Lord hears you. He loves you, and he promises to take care of you. So if you're deep in the mire, turn to the Lord. He loves you, and he's got you. And then, because of that truth, choose to praise him, because he's God, and he's good. and he's good for his promises. Before we close, oh, this is second service, we're good. I want to encourage you, but I also want to charge and challenge you from the word of God. In light of Psalm 69, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 through 15. Let me challenge you with verses 12 and 13 first. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. When he said it is finished, he did not die a victor's death. It's a criminal's death. And he was mocked and ridiculed for that. The author of Hebrews said, let's join him out there. Let's endure the reproach that Jesus endured, which he endured that reproach on our behalf. He didn't deserve it. So let's identify with Christ. Because if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. And I'm a real nuts and bolts kind of guy, very practical. I don't do theory too well. I do it too long, my brain hurts. Like, okay, what does that look like, though, in real life? Good question. Maybe there's a mission trip that the Lord is impressing on your heart to go on. Maybe there's a colleague or a coworker that the Lord has been impressing on your heart to pray for or talk to. Maybe you need to go and plant with Andrew or move to Nashville, Tennessee and replant with us. I mean, whatever it is. Right, but here's the reality. Your reason for not going can't be that it will be uncomfortable. It will be painful. Did you see the nails? Did you see the cross? I know it's a symbol of hope, but just so we're clear, when Jesus hung on it, it was a symbol of death. And he gladly bore the reproach of that cross. It said, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. Will we do the same and say, this is going to be uncomfortable. This is going to be painful. But I will join Jesus outside the camp so that I might bear the reproach that he endured. I don't know who that's for, but don't let it just wash over you. We can't avoid pain. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. Embrace it. God is with you, and he will see you through. And our challenge that we'll be able to apply right now, real time, verse 14 and 15. For here we have no lasting city on this earth. But we, those who seek Christ, we seek the city that is to come, the New Jerusalem. Through him, through Jesus, then, let us continually, never ceasing, offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Let us, because of Christ, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise because it pleases him. It's what he calls us to, and he's worthy of that. And so when we sing this next song, sing loud, sing strong, give God praise because he's worthy. I know that we may be dealing with all kinds of things, but I choose to praise. And so we're going to have a chance. We don't have to wait till Monday for this one. We're going to be able to do this in just the next few moments, and then we can just let it spill over to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You get it. But let us, because of his character, his capability, and his care, praise God continually. I know it hurts. I know it's not easy. Jesus never said that it would be, but he did promise to be with us. And that's what gives us the strength to endure to the end. So be encouraged, people of God. He's with you, he loves you, and he'll see you through to the end. Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the reminder of this truth that you love us, that you see us broken, hurting, and needy. and you meet us at the point of our need. For this truth, we will not pretend that it's easy or fun, but we will also not allow our situations or circumstances to determine our response to your presence. And you promise to be a present help in time of trouble. So because you are present with us, we will praise you. Father, I pray for the downtrodden, the hurting heart, the broken in spirit. Would you meet them at the point of their need? Encourage, strengthen, comfort, oh God. Keep them. Remind them they are not alone. And because we know that you are a good God who does all things well, we won't wait to see it to praise you. We'll give you what's due you right now. And we will praise you continually. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Redeemer Community Church in Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more sermons, we invite you to visit us online at redeemernc.org.